Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, Happy New Year, sort of. It's our first show of 2019. Two local theme parks announce their plans to celebrate Lunar New Year. Sleeping Beauty's Castle takes an extended nap at Disneyland, and Snoopy and the gang return to Knott's for the Peanuts celebration. Plus, a little bit later on, we're here with a very special guest to discuss what we're excited for in 2019. So, take down the Christmas lights. We're back from our long winter's nap. It's an all-new season of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 29, the week of January 28th, 2019. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris, for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Alani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris-Milano, M-I-L-A-N-O. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, and this week I am joined by, from our vlog series, Karen Fan is back. Hello, Karen.
Hello. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Author of Skipper Stories, and now Skipper Stories 2, the Skipper Storying.
More Skipper Stories.
Skipper Story harder?
It's more Skipper Stories.
Skipper Storier? Okay. Author.
Skipper Harder.
Skipper Harder. There we go.
That's genius.
That's a different
Were you at the meeting?
That's going to be the third book.
I wasn't invited. I mean, that's it. I wasn't invited.
Well, the third one's going to be called Even More Skipper Stories. Oh, it's already been planned.
Or Skipper Story Hardest.
There we go. Skipper Story or Die Hard? I don't know. Author and official historian of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. Hello, Dr. David Marley.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
And welcome back. And of course, our very special guest from our sponsor, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris. Magical Vacation Planner, Caris Milano. Welcome, Caris.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Happy New Year to everyone. So hello, everyone, and welcome to an all new season of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, theme park podcast year, I guess is what we're going to. There's the name of the episode, but we're going to talk about, we're so happy to be back. So we have a kind of an eclectic group today. John and Brandis are both off today. They are enjoying a little bit of extended vacation time. So they will be back on our next episode. Everybody here, I'm so glad that you're here, and we hope that how was your guys' like the holidays and vacation breaks? And I haven't really gotten a chance to see you or talk to you guys, in a while. So how was everybody's holiday break?
I think it involved a lot of food, and I'm pretty sure I saw you a few times.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I saw you a couple of times. David, how was your holiday break?
Mine was awesome. We went somewhere.
Oh, where did you go?
We never go anywhere. We always stay
home.
Was
it planned by Caris?
It was not. It was planned by my sister. A friend of hers owns a mansion on the beach in Santa Barbara, like you do.
Sweet. Okay.
So we spent a week there. That's like New Year's week. And it was we live right next door to one of Charlie's Angels.
No offense to you guys, but I clearly need better friends.
It was freaking awesome. Oh yeah.
I was just going to ask, could we also tag along on this family vacation next year?
We already had next. Okay, if it happens next year, we'll have a party there.
Do not invite me if it's not at some mansion. All right.
All right.
I don't want you to invite me to like go live on a commune.
They have shacks on the beach that people built, and I thought I'll just stay here in the summer. It was pretty cool. And we got to go, I think theme park related, we got to go to the Santa Barbara Zoo. I love going to zoos, and the Santa Barbara Zoo is really good.
I haven't been to that one. I'll
they call it one out. Of America's best small zoos, but all the animals there were regular size.
Do they still have the zebra that had like joke. The weird neck?
I don't know. I remember seeing zebras. I don't know if they
have. Oh, sorry, not a zebra, the giraffe.
I didn't see any weird neck. They had a bunch of giraffes.
Okay, so what was weird about the weird neck? Like, was it an
so this was
inch
like
angle or something?
Way back. It used to be like the neck was off. Like it wasn't just straight up. There was something crooked about the neck or something like that.
No.
I think that's what it was famous for.
There was like three or four that we saw. We didn't see any.
Well, I mean, this was eons ago, but so the giraffe may have passed away.
Okay.
You guys clearly had a better vacation than I did. Yeah. About 4 days before Christmas, I had my gallbladder removed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I didn't get to eat, all the tasty treats like everybody was.
We have gone from mansion on the beach.
Mansion on the beach.
To dead giraffe.
To gallbladder removal.
Exploratory surgery.
Right?
No. Surgery.
Free mansion on the beach. Let's make it worse. It was a free mansion on the beach.
And to make it even worse, you chose not to want to live in the mansion on the beach, but on the shack on the beach.
Well, this summer, that's where I'm going to live because I can't. The mansion's occupied. So.
Yeah. Well, we're super glad that everybody's back. We were supposed to go up last week, but we had some other scheduling issues. And even today, it was supposed to be almost a completely different group of people today, except for Karis, because Karis was always going to be joining us. Karis, you're from Northern California, right?
Yeah.
What brings you down?
I lived in Orange County for 10 years. Yeah. But in more recent years, yeah, I'm up about an hour north of Fresno. So if anybody knows where Turlock is, woo, CSU Stanislaus, that's where I'm living right now.
And as Karen and I talked about the last time she was here, we worked together on the world famous Jungle Cruise, and that is how we know each other. And so when she when we started the podcast, she was in the middle of she had already started her travel planning business. So I asked if we could use her as a sponsor for the show, and she graciously said yes. And so whenever she comes down to the area, we try to get her on, especially now, so that we can talk about some of the things that we're excited about. So speaking of things that we're excited about, author, historian, and author of Skipper Stories 2, Dr. David Marley, tell us about Skipper Stories 2. What is, you have a new book out.
I do. And one day you're going to get the title right.
Right.
More Skipper Stories. I called it Skipper Stories 2 and everybody went, no, that sucks. So it came out with More Skipper Stories.
This is
more
just Chris's Skipper. Way of showing how in on the very beginning of
that's
planning
true.
That
that's
he
true.
Was. He's slightly dropping it. Like,
exactly.
Oh, what was that?
In the industry, we call that the ground floor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he was like maybe the third or fourth person I interviewed in the whole, and I have no idea how many, so 40, 50 interviews.
So you were on the first floor and not the basement or the lobby.
Yeah, he was there.
Right. The ground floor. No, it's
in
ground
the beginning.
Floor. So whatever the ground floor is.
So do I get to be in the third book then?
Yeah, you want to be in the third book?
I do.
I have a Karis story.
I've got stories.
I have a story about you.
Okay.
Wait. Are you planning on using this in the book, in the third book? Because if you are, I mean,
you know,
maybe
what?
We shouldn't just be sneaking this out now.
I do kind of talk about it. I don't mention you, but I talk about it in the intro to More Skipper Stories.
Okay.
Because I had gone on paternity leave because my wife was going to have a baby any week. And they called and said, can you come in? We have a skipper that hasn't worked in a long time. That was you. I said, can you come in and update train her?
Yeah.
And we'll pay you. It'll take like maybe an hour or two. We'll pay you for 4 hours. But I was on paternity leave. I'm like, sure, I'll come in. And so I did update training with you.
Right.
You said you never worked there again after that.
No, I didn't. It was hilarious. I came back. You did my update training. I didn't even spiel, actually. Scotty. Signed me off without me even spieling.
Yeah.
And then I never did a single shift. I got pulled to Indy every single day until I quit. Like
anything.
Never took another boat out.
But
with
it was fun because I.
It was fun that
I
day.
Was,
yeah.
I was already, you know, thinking about having a baby, and so I came
you,
in.
You
and,
you yourself?
Not me myself. Thank God, because if I could have gotten pregnant, I would not.
So
have.
if you're just joining us, welcome to Training Talk.
When I was done training with you, he's like, "Well, you know what? If you want to stay for a full 8 hour day, you can stay, or you know, do some boats, do whatever you want. Or, you know, you're on leave, so whatever you want to do." And I remember standing at the dock watching boats go by. He's like, "Do you want to go take out some boats?" And I went, "No, I'm good." And I remember sitting there thinking, "This is the last chance I may ever have in my entire life to drive a boat ever again." And I went, "No, I've been here for 3.5 years and I've done everything I wanted to do and I'm tired."
That's how I felt.
And so I left and I look back at that moment. I'm like, that was good.
That was
like
good. It was a good decision.
I left with zero regrets.
Yeah, and same here.
So thank you for that.
Some of my favorite days were standing on the dock doing absolutely nothing on the Jungle Cruise. It was just soaking it all in.
Yeah.
But tell us about your book. Tell us what is different in More Skipper Stories. And we'll put a link to the book, Amazon. Right,
it's available on Amazon and on my Etsy store.
Okay, so and then that's
we're all autograph it for you,
Dr. Skipper.
It's Dr. Skipper.
Is your Etsy store
Dr. Skipper at Etsy? And
David makes all kinds of interesting things, boat signs and jungle related paraphernalia. Yeah. So we'll
I would just like to point out that David has never gifted me anything that he has made. Ever.
I have not. I would also like to point that out.
I saw your barrel in Walt Disney World at the Skipper Canteen.
That is my third child.
So fun.
I love that barrel so much.
Yeah, I went in there and we were dining and then my server, I was like, "You have to point out the barrel." And she was like, "I know exactly what you're talking about." I said, "My friend made it." She goes, "Oh, are you a skipper from California too then?" I said, "Yeah, I was."
Goodness gracious. You're
so,
no, yeah.
I've got a picture
I'm sure every,
of your barrel.
Every Yahoo California skipper that walks in, there's like, "Show me your barrel."
I have 5 or 6 pictures of people with the barrel and I treasure all of them.
I'll send mine
like
to you.
It's standard in the the training now.
On More Skipper Stories, it's my author photo in the back of the book.
Sweet.
It's me next to,
so tell us
to the barrel.
Tell us a little bit about the book, David.
More Skipper Stories is exactly like the title says. And I got to interview even more skippers, right? More skippers than last time. I think the first book had 30-something.
For those who are maybe just finding us, what is Skipper Stories?
It's an oral history. What I did is I interviewed 40, 50 skippers who worked at the Jungle Cruise from opening day. And I interviewed skippers from that era. I interviewed all the way up till skippers that still work there. And they just tell me their stories, their favorite experiences, pranks, accidents, dealing with celebrities or guests. And
do you find that people are, I mean, obviously you wrote a second one. Do you find that people are interested in hearing stories from, I mean, obviously there's a cottage industry of authors and people that write about Disney.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, because Jungle Cruise, I feel, is like such a niche thing, right? Do you feel that people are really interested in hearing about the Jungle Cruise specifically?
Oh, very much so. People are crazy for it. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think it is?
I think because Jungle Cruise is the most unique attraction at the park. It's the only place where you're going to spend 10 minutes alone with a cast member, and their job is to entertain you. And so it's a different kind of cast member that works there, and it's a different experience that you don't get. Every other attraction is pretty much the same thing over and over and over again. And you can ride the boat with the same skipper and it'll be a different ride.
What makes that difference because you have the same experience on like Storybook, right? Mm-hmm. You're still alone 10 minutes, you know, with a cast member. What makes Jungle Cruise different? And I mean, obviously besides the comedy and the jokes and that kind of stuff, like what do you think makes it more? Why isn't there a storybook land stories? What do you think draws people to just wanting to learn more about the Jungle Cruise?
Because Storybook Land is very formulaic. They have to follow that script pretty tightly. And you got a lot of little kids you can't make cry. And at Jungle Cruise...
Or can you? Oh, yeah, you can.
But at Jungle Cruise, it's about trying to be entertaining and trying to be funny and dealing with guests from all around the world and finding out what they find.
And as we learned, some people were better at that than others, right?
Exactly. But what I found out is skippers that I didn't even think were particularly funny people... as human beings, I would interview them and they would have some of the best stories ever. And so, that was
kind of true. Like with people that worked there, when we worked there, the people that were genuinely funny people were genuinely the best skippers. Like I have never in my life worked with so many hearing stories from before they got there. I'm like, of course you ended up here, but I've never worked with so many genuinely funny people in my life. And the people that weren't generally, like, you know, people that tried too hard were the ones that were never worked out well.
Yeah, they went back to the East Side where they belong. Yeah.
Maybe you could do another book called Try Hard, Try Harder, and Try Hardest.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. It'll be your podcast exclusive. I'm doing a version for cast members. It'll be called Cast Member Stories.
Oh, nice.
Because I interviewed a bunch of skippers that had some amazing stories that had nothing to do with the Jungle Cruise. In fact, I interviewed a guy up in San Luis Obispo, and I would say 75% of his interview had nothing to do with Jungle Cruise.
Wow.
And I'm like, these are great stories, but I'm like, what am I doing listening to this man and these great stories? I thought, oh, this is another book.
Well, I also worked in guest relations for 3.5 years. Oh, I quit Disney for 2 years, but then I decided to come back.
I was a plaid.
So I also have a lot of stories. Yeah. But I think I would probably have to not name names because I had a lot of celebrities on tour as a VIP tour guide. So I wouldn't want to get in trouble for that.
We only name celebrity names if they're really good or if they're really bad. If it's Nick Cage. Because every Nick Cage story is just bizarre.
I have got the best celebrity story that I've ever experienced personally, and it involves Deuce Bigalow.
You didn't tell me this for the book.
I haven't told you.
It was
on Indie.
Oh,
well, then this is going to be for Indie. The new book.
Yeah, so this is for the new book. And so if you want to hear about my story with, what the hell is his name?
Deuce Bigalow.
I had Andrew Dice Clay.
Rob Schneider. So if you want to hear my story about Rob Schneider on the Indiana Jones attraction, when David's book comes out, you'll have to purchase David's book.
So the
last thing we'll say about the book is, David's, we're going to do a giveaway. We talked about it before. So Skipper Stories 1 and 2, and, David will sign an autograph. We're going to get some pictures. We're going to put it up on our Instagram page. And then, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to, tag the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast in a post on Instagram, and I will put it into the random number generator, and I will pick a winner, and you will win an autographed copy of Skipper Stories 1 and 2, autographed by the author, Dr. David Marley.
One and two. You are generous with my books.
I am. That's awesome. Right? Well, we were going to do – we never got around to the original giveaway.
So I love it. Yeah.
So we're going to – David will autograph two copies, and we'll put the post up on Instagram, and if you tag the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast or VL at VL Podcast is our Instagram handle. So we will send you an autographed copy of two Skipper Stories and more Skipper Stories. And we'll put a link to purchase the book in our show notes. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for that portion. Thanks, guys. Let's go over to park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
Right. Park hopping is our news segment. We'll have three really quick stories. David, we're going to go over to you first since John is not here. And we are going to talk about Sleeping Beauty taking the long sleep. David, what's going on?
Take that, John. All right. Disneyland Sleeping Beauty Castle is undergoing an extensive rehab. It began on January 7th and will remain undercover until spring. Nice. Update there. But Disney's going to spend $300,000 to re-roof Sleeping Beauty's castle and replace the fiberglass plastic on the turrets, according to the Anaheim building permits. Online reports indicate that the turrets may have been damaged during the overlay for the park's 60th anniversary, when they had all those diamonds and...
Let's talk about that. So it's the 60th was what, 2015?
Yeah.
And they're just now getting around to fixing it.
I have a story I can add now or later.
Go down.
Okay. I've been at the park twice in the past month, and I hadn't been in almost 2 years. And I was surprised at how much upkeep and maintenance needs to be done. So many buildings were shabby and paint was peeling and lights were out almost every place I looked.
Wow.
It was really,
I haven't
seen it that bad in a while.
I went to, if you go on to the story, continue the story.
Okay.
And then we'll get to some of this other stuff because I want to mention something too.
Okay. The castle, as you listeners obviously know, it's been a landmark since 1955. It is distinction being named after a Disney movie princess 4 years before the movie actually came out. That's right, why the castle and the one in the movie don't look anything like each other. In fact, Sleeping Beauty was still in its early stages when Disneyland Park was opened. The walkthrough wasn't open for a couple of years.
Great story. You ever heard of that story? So when they decided they wanted to do the walkthrough, they're like, well, that's not really designed for that. It's just kind of in. So they opened it up and it was just infested with like feral cats and fleas.
Yeah.
Just, they got eaten alive trying to.
Well, Disney got covered in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, so it will remain open when the refurbishment is complete. It's part of their Project Stardust, which you could probably spend a whole podcast talking about. Their Project Stardust, I think, is interesting, getting ready for Star Wars Land. So the work forces the closure of Sleeping Beauty's castle walkthrough attraction, and that started January 17th. Other Disneyland attractions to go down for rehab during the winter season are, the Haunted Mansion is finally back up. It's a Small World will close from the 23rd to the 31st. We'll shed their seasonal overlays once the holiday crowds disperse. A Fantasmic Nighttime Spectacular goes dark January 21st, along with the sailing ship Columbia. And this kills me. The Astro Orbiters are closed. What?
Aww,
why even go?
Sad.
Starting January 7th.
Trip is ruined.
So it's been a while. And then Splash Mountain went down and should be open up around February 4th. It's getting their annual refurbishments before the crowds come back in the spring.
Right. So let's talk about that. Project Stardust is this thing that they're undergoing, much like they did before the 50th, where they're kind of refurbishing things. All of this is in anticipation of something we're going to talk about briefly a little bit later, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So they have been moving planters. They've been moving benches. There was a big story in the Orange County Register about how they're removing so many benches and there's like very few places to sit anymore.
And there are.
And true. Yet they say by the end of Project Stardust, there will be more seating than ever.
Right.
So it's like right now there's not when you go there because they've had to move stuff in order to do the construction, but they are supposed to then add a whole bunch of seating.
Right. And they're moving planters, and I'm sure some of the planters, it reminds me of, do you guys remember in Adventureland, there used to be those giant old trees right in the middle of the walkway?
Yeah.
And then about, I don't know, 10 years ago, 10, well, longer than that now, about 15 years ago or so, the stroller phenomenon started. Like everybody brought their own huge stroller. So they're like, well, now people, like this historic choke point in Disneyland became even tighter. So they took these old giant trees out and replaced them with much smaller planters and trees. So,
and now the planters are gone entirely.
Yeah. And then they just decided to like take them out. And then they took out two stores so you can eat and, you know.
Which I love. I love what they did.
Yeah. I love the, love the little seating dining
it's
area.
Beautiful.
I miss the store.
Bengal barbecue. Yeah.
I miss the pinball machine in the, Indiana Jones store, but, I love that there's more seating. But going back to your point earlier about all the maintenance and peeling paint, a couple of weeks ago, we went with some friends who were here down from, somewhere in Northern California. And, we went on Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters, and I don't know when the last time that ride saw a can of paint or like a vacuum. It was really bad. It was, the car that we were riding in, the clamshell car we were riding in, the base paint was showing on the bottom. So I'm hoping that, a lot of stuff is going to get announced at D23 this year about their next phase of projects after Star Wars Land opens. I'm really hoping that Tomorrowland is one of them, if it's not included in this Project Stardust that they're undertaking.
What I feel bad is that they make a big deal about, we're going to rehab and refurbish all these things. It's like, well, you used to do that every day. You used to fix and keep them clean. You shouldn't have to advertise that you're now going to clean
them. Yeah, but now the park is so busy, like all the time.
But not
they
at
can't
night
really,
when they used to fix everything.
Right. The maintenance used to come in at night and they'd have their paint and paint had just dried before park opening.
Yeah. I have some photographs of them having heaters and trying to dry some paint on one of the planters in Adventureland, and there's trucks parked and you could hear Walt's voice announcing the opening of the park, and they got and drove away.
Yeah.
And the paint was just barely dry. And they used to do that stuff all the time, and now they clearly don't.
Now they make a big deal about, oh, we're going to do it in this big project, but it's like, Well, there's stuff that some burnout lights, and I work in an industry where I'm like familiar with lights. Like I would love to see them convert to like LED lights so that you don't have to worry about it. And you can make LED lights now that look like regular incandescent lights. Yeah. And I'd love to see that, but,
I haven't been in the park in a long time.
There are some angry people. We try to get you to buy an annual pass and then you didn't, and then the price went up.
I actually just let it go.
Every time I talk, I'm like,
it's
edit me out later.
Yeah.
I was like an inch away from getting an annual pass. I thought my wife and I were going to do it. We budgeted it. We're going to get them. And then a former student of mine who works at Disney signed us into the park. And we spent a whole day there. And I'm like,
no, I'm good.
There's not a chance in hell I'm going to buy a pass to come back here.
Right.
It was so crowded.
Most
of the crowding
is due to
APs. If I was Bob Iger, I would cancel the AP program immediately.
Yeah, but they're addicted to that drug now.
I know. They love that money.
Hook it up to their veins.
But
yeah.
It's ruining the experience at Disneyland. Yeah.
And this
just
is why I can't plop down the amount of money.
That and FastPass are ruining the experience at Disneyland and has been for a very long time.
And at this point, you might as well just wait until Star Wars has been open for at least the half a year, if not a full year. And that's what my husband and I decided to do. Our passes actually expired in October, and we wanted to renew, but being that we do live in Northern California and we have to plan a trip to come down here, we just said, you know what? We have other things we're working towards this year, bigger goals in life. Let's put that money towards better use for right now. And hopefully we'll be able to renew maybe in a year or two.
And I could write mine off as a business expense.
Goes crazy. Exactly.
My whole annual pass is a business expense, and I still wouldn't get one. I'm like, I'd rather just pay for a ticket when I really want to. Like, I'm going Adventureland Day, so I'm just going to buy a ticket on Adventureland Day.
When is Adventureland Day?
It's the first weekend in March, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna do a book drop. I'm going to hide it somewhere in the park.
Ooh,
that's awesome.
And leave clues on Instagram for people to follow.
That, really?
I am.
That's awesome.
You should.
That does sound a lot of fun. It sounds very, very fun.
Scavenger hunt.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, David, for that. There are some really angry people about that, the Sleeping Beauty Castle being closed because it's all over Facebook and Instagram and people like, my vacation's ruined because Sleeping Beauty's castle is closed. But it's like at some point they have to fix
stuff. Yes.
It is super iconic. Yeah.
I can't get that magical Instagram photo. So now my entire vacation is ruined, even though I probably come in like once a week.
It is quite obtrusive though. The walls that they've put up. I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if they did it in sections or something like that, but there is a huge wall right across.
Well,
I'm so jaded because I'm just thinking like, oh my God, where am I going to propose to my, you know, like hopefully soon to be fiance now that the wall has been put up in front of this castle?
There's so many other places in Disneyland to do that.
Ruin that iconic view, but you have to do that every couple of years. Yeah, you got to fix it up.
Yeah.
Got to maintain.
All right.
As Donald Trump's daughter-in-law says, it's a little bit of trouble. But it's worth it, you guys. It's worth it.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, Disneyland built the wall, but they're trying to get Knott's Berry Farm to pay for it. So, all right. I told David I would do that joke. All right. Well, Karen, get us out of this. Let's see what's going on for Lunar New Year.
Disney's California Adventure Park, guests can ring in the Year of the Pig with 24 days of Lunar New Year celebrations at Disney's California Adventure Park, January 25th through February 17th, a celebration of Asian cultures. We're going to discuss this in a bit. Lunar New Year welcomes guests of all ages to commemorate traditions with beloved Disney characters and welcome another year of good fortune. Enjoy multicultural performances, fun-filled activities, beautiful decor, delicious cuisine, and themed merchandise. One of the highlights is Mulan's Lunar New Year procession, a bright and bold parade hosted by Mulan and her faithful dragon Mushu. This year, the parade will feature the three little pigs as a special treat for the Year of the Pig. At Universal Studios, they're also celebrating Lunar New Year and the Year of the Pig from February 2nd to the 17th. Universal Studios Hollywood celebrates Lunar New Year and the Year of the Pig with DreamWorks Kung Fu Panda's Po and Tigress, Mr. Ping's Noodle Shop, a Mandarin-speaking Transformers Megatron, and Hello Kitty, adorned in custom-designed Lunar New Year attire. I need to buy merchandise for this already. I can feel it. I'm getting excited. From February 2nd through 17th. This spectacularly themed Lunar New Year tradition will take place within Universal Plaza, located at the heart of the theme park, under a curtain of customary red Chinese lanterns and stunning plum blossoms in wishing trees. The festival will come to life as guests discover the 12 zodiac animal signs accompanied by their symbolic attributes.
All right. Well, thank you. So we're going to let's get into this a little bit. The Orange County Register had a list of nine best things to do at the Lunar New Year Festival. So I pulled three of my favorite things. So one of them is actually one of the things that Karen talked about. You can see Mulan's Lunar New Year procession. This year, the lively event has a longer route and adds to the Disney version of the Three Little Pigs in honor of the Year of the Pig. The route runs from Pixar Pier to Paradise Gardens Park with fan ribbon and martial arts dancers included in the festivities. It runs daily at noon, 1:15, 3 p.m. and 4:15. You can put your wish on the Lucky Wishing Wall, which I really enjoyed last year and in the previous years that it's doing. So it's really fun to go up there and see what people's New Year's wishes are. The returning feature is near Paradise Gardens, and it's interesting to read other people's wishes. You can get a Sip and Savor Pass, which Karen and I have done before for the Food and Wine Festival. Mm-hmm. $36 for annual pass holders, $39 for non-annual pass holders. Comes with 6 tear-off tabs that can be used to buy non-alcoholic items at one of 6 venues and food, including the 4 Festival Marketplace booths, the Festival Food and Beverage Card, and also for smaller portions of entrees at Paradise Garden Grill. You can buy it at Elias & Company, Kingswell Camera Shop, Festival Gifts, the Sip and Savor cart at each food booth. So among some of the offerings that they suggest you try, you can try the crispy shrimp fried rice for $8, the Vietnamese iced coffee for $5.50, vegetable egg roll and chilled sesame garlic noodles for $7, Mickey Chinese hot dog bun for $6.50, which Karen said that comes from...
I believe that sounds like one of the Shanghai items.
So you can get a taste of Shanghai Disney. The steamed short rib shumai for $7.75 and the char siu bao pork bao for $7.75. So let's talk about this really quickly. Karen, what do you, have you been to the Lunar New Year Festival?
I have never been to the Lunar New Year thing before. I'm going this year. So if you happen to be in the park on Thursday, please try to hunt me down. I will be wandering around, possibly making faces at the food offerings.
And I think we're going to try, and aside from your trip on Thursday, we're going to try and get out there to do another vlog. So we, Karen and I look forward to that. We'll try to get out there for some YouTubing, but go on.
Okie dokie. But I will be there because I have been wanting to try it out. And also I would like to see some of the new merchandise. And more importantly, I still have yet to go over to Tropical Hideaway. Which also serves bows. So I'm going to go and see what all the bows are all about. I know. I'm going to see what all the bows are about.
So you read between the Universal Studios one and the Disneyland one, which one sounds more interesting to you?
I'll be honest. I am very intrigued by Lunar New Year Hello Kitty. So I am probably going to make another trip out to there as well to see what the items that they might be doing over there would be like. In terms of the Disney stuff, I just feel like because I was in Asia for so long, so I've seen all of the stuff at Hong Kong Disney. I've seen all the stuff at Tokyo Disney. I've seen all the stuff at Shanghai Disney, you know, so stuff that might be more unique or special here. You know, maybe I'm just a little more jaded. And so I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, they have this, you know, in X Park.
David, does any of this sound good to you? I mean, you guys, Karis and David, does this sound
like Well, I've never been able to attend when this has been running for the last several years. I do think it's cool that they added the Sips and Savor pass because this is the first year that they've added that to the Lunar New Year. But
would you like to join me on Thursday?
I wish I could, but we will already be back in Northern California. I do have to say though, I think it's fun when other places get in on this as well. And I just have to mention that, because I was visiting my brother who lives out in Murrieta, Temecula, we went to Pechanga, which I had never been casino. And I know it's huge down here and it goes on for miles, but their decorations for the Chinese New Year are gorgeous. There are lanterns hanging everywhere, dragons and the cherry blossom trees everywhere. So it really was gorgeous for a casino. So if you have nothing better to do, head on over to Temecula.
Yes. I do want to point out that while I am Chinese and I do call it Chinese New Year's, it is known in the Asian circles as Lunar New Year, so as not to leave any of the other Asian cultures, such as the Vietnamese, who also celebrate the Lunar New Year.
That's one of the things. So one of the cool things that I've found, and we have a video on our YouTube channel from when I went to the very first Lunar New Year festival 2 or 3 years ago. So if you want to see kind of what the idea of this, what it kind of looks like, and they've expanded it since then, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/vacationland podcast, and you can check us out and see what more or less this looks like. Well, that was one of my favorite things. There was this wall that explains kind of how the different Asian cultures celebrate Lunar New Year. So there was a wall for like how the Chinese celebrated, for how the Vietnamese celebrated. Just, it was very, very cool. And there's a lot of like neat cultural aspects of it too. It's not just come and eat food and drink and, you know, they really try to be really
respectful. Even though really that's what we're all there for. Right.
Do you want to know how smart I am? I was like, why are you going to Disneyland on Thursday? And then I realized we have a DVC event that we're going to. So that's how smart that I am. All right. Well, we're going to go to our last news story, and Karis is going to join us in on this one. Karis, what's going on with Peanuts and the gang?
Gang, and you will want to mark your calendar.
Sounds like a training video.
I know,
but I am a fan of the Peanuts Gang,
so it's, you know, fans of it and you. I'm just reading folks.
Peanuts Gang, I believe they're Crips, if I'm not mistaken.
I got to check. I don't know. All right, as Charles M. Schulz comic strip and characters will be feted during the Peanuts celebration at Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park on weekends from January 26th through March 10th, plus President's Day, February 18th. Knott's added the event to its annual seasons last year and is expanding it this year to truly encompass the park and last for two more weekends. In Camp Snoopy, you can board the Grand Sierra Railroad to see how the Peanuts gang prepares for the Beagle Bonanza, and then catch the new Space Beagle show at the Camp Snoopy Theater. Franklin and Linus invite you to join in their games during the Cowboy Jamboree in Calico Park in Ghost Town. Or for some quieter adventures, visit the livery stable where Pigpen will be hanging out and some animal friends. And stop in at the Birdcage Theater and learn how to draw your favorite Peanuts characters during Sketch School.
So the three of us have a mutual friend that is involved in Peanuts Sketch
School. Can we say his name? Are we not allowed to say his
name? I don't know. We can't say his. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say err on the side
Although,
of caution.
I gotta say, the Disney Animation Academy at DCA is one of my all-time favorite attractions anywhere at the Disneyland Resort. I freaking love it. I make my girls go every time.
Yeah,
and they complain, and then halfway through, this is the most fun!
Anytime he was there, I would make sure I would go and get a lesson from him.
Same thing with us.
Now he's drawn Peanuts characters instead of Disney characters.
Right. Well, he does a lot of really cool stuff with Knott's Berry Farm Entertainment. Like he's
he's the mayor?
The vice mayor or what? Associate mayor? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you call it. But he does a lot of stuff with Haunt. And now I have a Knott's Berry Farm Pass, so I can go and visit him
in
the Birdcage Theater. So, yeah.
I would, David, if Knott's is listening, I would really like them to also do a Chinese New Year's event. I have not been in the park for a very, very long time, so I would enjoy going in specifically to celebrate my Asian heritage. Think about it. Boysenberry egg rolls, boysenberry egg tarts.
No, that's actually that's not a bad idea. I mean, everybody else is doing it. So.
I know. Why not?
Yeah, that's a great idea. All right. Anything else, Karis?
So wrapping up this story, the Calico Mind Stage will have two different music shows for you to enjoy. There is a Knott's first ever discoteca. Will be hosted by Snoopy's brother Spike in the Fiesta Village. So to participate in that, put on a set of headphones and dance to the music while keeping quiet.
Spike.
Okay. Another new attraction will be the Sky Cabin's changeover to Woodstock's Bird's Eye View. You'll ride aboard on the adorable Yellowbird's Nest to get a look at the Peanuts celebration below, as well as the surrounding landscape. And guests will also find fun photo opportunities with large comic strip props, Peanuts characters to meet and greet, and a variety of specially themed treats throughout the park. So for more information, go to knotts.com.
Yeah. So over the Christmas break, I forgot to mention, because she's not here, and I was going to mention it. So me and Aaron went to Knott's, and we got annual passes. So we're going to go hopefully visit a lot more with Brandy and John. Diane, our other host, who's not currently here right now, she also got a Knott's Berry Farm pass. We had a blast. It was really, really busy when we went. And the one thing, and I don't know when the last time anybody went to Knott's is, the one thing that bugs me about Knott's, and I got to get this off my chest. One of the things that bugs me about Knott's is that you get in a line, there is no way of knowing how long that line is, because do not put freaking wait times outside their line. So you could get in line. It could, there's no host, there's no employee, cast member, whatever you want to call them, outside the ride to tell you. So you could get in the line, and it could be 10 minutes. It could be two. We waited 2.5 hours to get on Accelerator.
It's a magical surprise.
It's not.
Well, see, I thought it was really just me, and I thought it was the time of year that we went. My husband and I, he had never been to Knott's, and I hadn't been in about 15 years. So we went for Scary Farm this past October. So I finally got him to go. We went, and for the most part, we did the mazes, which is what we were there for, and the scare zones. But at the very end of the night, we were walking past it, and I was like, okay, you know what? We can't leave here without you experiencing Ghost Rider. So there was a sign out front that at the very entrance that said 10 minutes. Oh, no. No, when we got in that line, it zigzagged. It went back and forth. I forgot the layout of the queue because it had been so long since I had been there. It was at least an hour that we waited for Ghost Rider.
They want you to use their app. And from all indications, their app is terrible.
Yeah.
Because their app supposedly has all the wait times on it. It doesn't. So that was
spoiler. Spoiler. I mean, thanks, Chris.
Yeah. Sorry to ruin
that. What's the point of the app then?
Sorry to ruin that one for you. There is no point of the app.
Just ruined it for David.
Yeah. The only point of the app is to keep your, really the only thing that the app does is keep your annual pass or your ticket media like saved in it. But I can do the same thing in Apple Wallet. Like I have my pass saved in Apple Wallet. Like there is no way to know how long you're going to wait. We got in this really long line for the, log ride, and we thought it was going to be at least, you know, an hour wait. It was only like a, maybe like a half hour wait. There is no good reason in 2000. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. There is no good reason in 2019. You cannot do something. And I know what it is. They want you to buy their express pass. That's what it is. But in 2019, there is no good reason why they shouldn't have wait times, outside their freaking attractions.
You're right about the app being buggy though, too, because we downloaded it so that we could get the wait times for the mazes. You have to register first and like put in your email and everything. And
nope.
And it's like, no, I don't want to get spammed all the time. And
well, that's
so
what you have, that's what you have.
God,
you
know,
even the Disneyland app doesn't do that. You just download the app and you're good to go. Yeah. So it's yeah.
If you want to make reservations for food, to be fair, if you want to make like dining reservations,
or you want to pre-book, or you want to use PhotoPass,
you have to use to register and put your information on there. So, but yeah, there's no good reason why in 2019 I should get in line and have no idea what the wait time is.
Some people just enjoy the magical surprise.
Yeah, not when they're charging $85 a ticket.
I don't think you can find that. I think that person's mythical.
Yeah.
They're riding a unicorn.
Wait, are tickets
in line.
Really $85?
Well, we didn't pay. I mean, yeah, and that's one of the reasons I got an annual pass is because,
I thought tickets were only like $65.
If you pre-purchase online, they're a little bit cheaper, but from the day ticket side, it was literally $10 more for me to get an annual pass. And so, and I'm making annual payments, monthly payments on it. And it's like $6 a month. So whatever. But yeah, that was my rant for, sorry, Knots, but that was my rant. All right. Well, thank you guys. That was park hopping. We're going to go on to our next segment, and we're going to talk about some of the things that we are excited about in 2019. And, I'm just going to bring up some things, guys. I'm not going to do a whole lot of reading here, and I have a list of things I want to talk about. I do have some information to read, but I want to just get your guys' reaction. So I'm going to start talking about things, that are coming in 2019 and some, I was anticipating like some of the Knott's Berry Farm people being here. Let's just get into it.
You're so now one of those Knott's Berry Farm people.
I am now one of those Knott's Berry Farm people. And actually, I'm really excited about one of these things. So let's talk about festivals. How excited are we for the festival? So here I have the DCA Food and Wine Festival. Of course, the Lunar New Year Festival that we talked about. The Knott's Berry Farm Boysenberry Festival. How excited are we about some of the festivals? And Karis, how are you? Let's talk a little bit about you for a second before we get into any of this. You are, of course, our sponsor, Magical Vacation Planner by Karis.
Yay!
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your business and what you can do for people?
Sure. So, other than my history of working in theme parks, I love to travel as well and have traveled different places around the world. And I discovered this opportunity a year ago to join Magical Vacation Planner. And I thought, well, this is kind of a no-brainer. I've been planning my family's vacations to the Disney resorts for free for years. I might as well get paid for it. And so it's been really, really a fun journey because not only do I do Disney, but do cruise lines, Sandals and Beaches, Universal, which we've been doing Universal Orlando. And a little birdie told me that we are going to be able very soon to hopefully do Universal Hollywood, which will help me since I'm out here on the West Coast. And I have so many people who constantly ask me if I can help plan their trip to there. And they've been held by a third party company in the past. And so now they're going to open it up, I think, to all independent travel agents. So that's really cool.
That's really cool because I know that was kind of a point of, of contention, not contention, but that was a kind of a roadblock to being able to do those kind of trips.
Absolutely. It was definitely, I had so many people ask me and I'm like, well, I can give you suggestions, but I really can't book your trip for you because I'm sorry, but I'm not going to get anything in return. I'm not going to get any commission, you know, so I can only help so much.
So how does that, explain to us how that works. Do you charge for your service?
No, actually, my services are free. We never ever charge any additional agent fees or anything like that. The commission that we make comes from the companies that we book with. Sure. So whether that's Royal Caribbean or whether that's Disney, they give the travel agent a percentage of the booking that normally they would just pocket if you went directly through that company.
Because they're charging you that anyway, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the guest is you're going to pay the same whether you book with Carnival or whether you book directly with me. The difference is you're going to get someone who is going to be with you through the entire process. So I'm going to make sure that all of your questions are answered. You're never going to wonder what you have to pack or what you need to bring before you go on a cruise if you've never cruised before. You know, so really we consider ourselves a boutique agency where we're really more like a concierge of travel, and we help you through the entire process. It's great because, again, you know, if you were to just call Carnival or Disney, you could talk to a different agent every single time you get on the phone. They're not going to know your case. They're not going to know your family. But I really get to know your wants of what you want your vacation to be, your travel party, and help tailor it to you.
What are you seeing in terms of trends for travel in 2019? Where are people booking so far for the coming year?
Actually, the bookings that I have been all over the place. So I've booked a lot of cruises, but I've also booked a lot of Disney vacations. So it really has been a wide mix that I am seeing. But I am seeing people focus their attention more to be very, very specific of what they want. So they come to me and they say, I don't want this. I don't want this on, like, let's say on board a cruise. So then I'm the one who says, okay, well then we should go with this cruise line if that's where you're wanting to go. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if they say we've never been to Walt Disney World, we have no clue. It's such a big resort. Where do we start? And that's when I start asking those questions of, you know, are you wanting to spend a lot of time at your resort and in the pool? Okay. Well, then we got to find you a really cool resort with one of those awesome pools. Or they say, no, the hotel's not important. It's all about the time in the park, you know. So it's about tailoring it. But the vacations have been all over the place.
And we're going to get to it, but how nuts is it going to be when Star Wars Land opens?
It's going to be insane. Okay. Yeah. Insane. And I already have folks who they're calling me and they're asking me for certain dates. They want to travel. And I keep saying, are you sure? Is that the only time that you have to go? If it is, then you just have to understand that it is going to be crowded and you need to anticipate that.
There was a story on Bloomberg where they're anticipating something in the neighborhood of 200,000 people on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is another story came out where they're not going to be potentially, this was a rumor that when Harry Potter Land opened and when the Wizarding World opened in Florida and in Hollywood, they would limit the number of people. So I'm sure that the fire marshal has a certain limit, but that the experience is going to not be what the full experience because it's going to be so crowded in there.
Yeah.
That they're not going to really limit experience wise how many people they allow into Galaxy's Edge. They're going to limit it because the fire marshal tells them to limit it, but experience wise, it's going to be really crazy. David.
As I say, Karis is probably something you have to deal with a lot. There's people that want to go that day because they want to say they were there.
Well, they're already
that first day or whatever.
And asking me when it is. And I have to tell them, we actually don't have the official day yet. They have not officially announced it. Mm. However, based on the blockout calendar for annual passes that is already on the website, we can assume when it's going to be and when opening day might be, or at least that weekend or before, because then after that, it's completely blocked out for the rest of the summer. And so, you know, so again, I have those people who are calling me and saying, well, you know, what if we just get our tickets there? And I'm like, no, if this is the only time you have to go, we need to book your package. We'll get your rates locked in. We'll get you locked in. We'll get your tickets. And at least you will have your tickets ahead of time because they might stop selling tickets.
Exactly.
They might, you know,
those things are gonna be gone.
Yeah, yeah. And the hotel rooms. I mean, are already ridiculously expensive now.
And this is just
like the end of May. It's already disappearing. Rates are going up.
Yeah.
You know, like you can check. And the next day, rates have gone up even more.
I've said it multiple times before, but the numbers on opening day at Star Wars Land are going to be 200,001.
You're going to be there.
I will be there.
It doesn't matter how crowded it is.
I've already told my wife, I'm like, if you may not see me for 2 or 3 days, because I'll be camping out ready for Star Wars Land.
The only thing that would have made it bigger is if they had made a Star Trek land. Then it would have been huge because it would have been based on awesome.
But then it would have been really boring.
But it would have been based on a much better property than Star Wars.
Clearly, there's no bias there.
Star
Wars Land. I will say, I think that even though I won't be there on opening day, I feel very
You'll
proud.
You'll be there in spirit with Chris?
Yes. Yeah. But I feel very proud as a Californian to know that the original Disneyland is getting their Star Wars
before
Florida.
I may buy Karen a ticket and force her to go to this so we can do a vlog of opening day.
If there is a ticket bought for Karen, Karen may or may not be camped out there, even though she has two work galas that same month.
So, all right. So thank you, Karis, for kind of telling us a little bit about your business.
Sure.
And so now we're going to get into the segment portion where we're going to talk about some of the things that we're excited about for 2019. So I'm just going to read some things here. I have a list of things that I pulled from various sources that talk about what's coming to the parks in 2019. So let's talk about the festivals. First on my list. So we already talked about the Lunar New Year Festival and we talked about kind of like our thoughts on that. The DCA Food and Wine Festival. Karis, you've been to that.
Everybody
else, how excited are we for the festival? So we have the DCA Food and Wine Festival. We have the Boysenberry Festival. How excited are we for more festivals in the parks in 2019?
I do think it's fun when they try to introduce new items every year. So as long as they're, coming up and innovating and offering new things, it keeps people coming back. It is something for locals definitely to look forward to as well. But otherwise, the people who they just happen to plan their trip during that time, they get a little fun extra. I feel like it's something on top of what would normally be at the parks anyway. The Food and Wine Festival, I remember when it was many years ago, and then they stopped doing it for a while because of all the construction and the new things that DCA was becoming. And so they kind of put it on hold. And so I'm glad that it returned. I'm glad it came back because I feel like California has so much to offer in the wine growing regions. And so it really is a showcase of California.
I love the festivals. I think they're great. I think the food's great.
Chris is like a 14-year-old teenage girl. So he's all about festivals.
I'm all about festivals.
And all about.
I put on my rave gear.
Yes.
I put on my fuzzy boots. Wrong kind of festival.
I'm the father of a 14-year-old girl. He is nothing like a 14-year-old girl.
He's more really, extra.
My wife would disagree with you.
Is he way more extra?
No. I mean, I'm super extra, so maybe I just don't see it. There's no.
I know one of his four. I know his 14-year-old.
He's never once said anything, and my reaction has never been, "God, just stop talking." I've never once said that. Not that I've said that with my daughters ever. Quietly to myself.
So, all right. So let me just read for you for the 2019 Food and Wine Festival at California Adventure. We already talked about Lunar New Year. So from March 1st to April 23rd, you can discover the beauty and celebrate the bounty of California with unforgettable cuisine, beverages, and events. Some highlights of the 2019 Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival are the Junior Chef demonstrations. Kids age 3 to 11 get to whip up fantastic fun during the hands-on, and it's in quotes here, cooking experience that ends with a tasty surprise. There are culinary demonstrations. You can watch as talented chefs whip up a few of their favorite dishes. We got to see Robert Irvine and
What were the dates again? Who is Robert Irvine?
March 1st to April 23rd. Okay. Robert Irvine is a British chef. He used to do Cutthroat Kitchen.
Restaurant Impossible.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I don't watch these.
So he's like Gordon Ramsay, but like really buff. just as angry, like he yells at people.
Can't keep his arms
so
by
he's
side.
Like, yeah. Gordon Ramsay meets Guy Fieri.
No, he's like Gordon
he's
Ramsay
not
meets. Well, hang on, hold that thought. He's like Guy Fieri meets like The Rock.
It's Fieri, by the way.
Yeah,
I just have to throw that out there.
So it's to answer your question, March 1st to April 23rd. So we got to watch Guy Fieri. We got to watch Graham from who used to be one of the Chef Graham, who used to be one of the judges on. Master Chef, and so there's some really cool chefs. And the cool thing I like that they're doing now is that you don't have to actually buy a ticket to sit and enjoy the like food portion of it. If you get in and it's there's enough room, you can actually go in and just kind of watch from a little side area, like the merchandise area. So you don't actually need a paid ticket. Where before in the first couple of years, you had to have a paid ticket to go in, and it's in that area where Who Wants to Be a Millionaire used to be over in the Hollywood section of California Adventure. But you can go in and you can watch, and we sat there and we watched, like I said, Robert Irvine, and we watched Chef Graham, and so it was really, really fun. There are, of course, the Festival Marketplace kiosks where you can discover the bounty of California at over a dozen festival marketplaces offering tasting-sized menus that celebrate the hero ingredients. And Chef Karis over here is an actual – Karis is a chef?
I am a chef, yeah. I went to the Culinary Institute of America. That's actually why I left Disney.
Yeah.
I wanted to follow my next passion and become a chef.
But I would like to know what your hero ingredient is.
I don't exactly know what it's a term.
It's a term that they use. It's a term that they use on a lot of cooking shows.
Yeah, I was going to tell you mine.
Yes.
Any cooking mistake can be fixed with cayenne pepper, except the mistake of too much cayenne pepper.
Too much cayenne pepper, yes.
So in a lot of cooking shows, they talk about the hero ingredient. So it's like, it's the star of the show. Just,
So they're starting to use the word hero instead of the star ingredient. You're
the star ingredient,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just behind.
Yeah, like I said, I watch a lot of cooking. So I watch a lot of cooking shows. So in case that wasn't enough for you guys, celebrity chef Guy Fieri. will be at the 2019 Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival. Join celebrity chef Guy Fieri and his backwards sunglasses as he cooks up an excitement with a side of sizzle, followed by a reception where you can taste samples of his prepared dishes that will make you a Fieri fan forever.
Okay, I'm not. So I'm not into any of the other stuff, but I am very excited because I am going to be at Walt Disney World for their food and wine thingy, mabobber, whatever that. Going on.
Yes.
Is it the food and wine? That's happening in February?
Epcot.
Yes. No. February, no. That would be, right now it's the Festival of the Arts that's running.
No, I'm going towards the end of February, so there's something going on then.
Flower and Garden.
Okay, so I will be there for the Flower and Garden, and they pumped it up with all that food stuff because they've realized that's where they make their money.
Yep.
So I am very excited. We will be eating our way through that, and then I will come back here where I will continue to eat my way through California's version.
Fun.
And so I am very, very excited about that, which also means that I will have not stopped eating since like Thanksgiving.
I do have to say, I just have to throw this out there, though, no matter what anybody out there thinks about Guy Fieri, I actually had him on tour twice when I was in guest relations, and he was absolutely fabulous.
It
was so much fun.
And there's a great comedy bit out there about why I don't understand why people hate Guy Fieri.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say, "Oh, he's not a real chef." Well, no, he actually went to school and everything too. But it's because he made his popularity on the Next Food Network star.
That's why people.
But he's just overall, he is exactly like he is on TV. People think, "Oh, that's just a put on personality." It really isn't.
I mean, the guy, like, in the wild, because he lives in Northern California. He lives in wine country, I believe. And during the fires, the last couple of years, like, he gets his food truck out there and he cooks for the firefighters. And, there's a comedy bit. If you look at it, it's like, I don't understand. The comedian goes, I don't understand why people hate Guy Fieri. So, all right. Moving right along, to our next, thing. Universal Studios Hollywood is going to be opening up the Jurassic World ride.
Yes.
I had something.
Fingers crossed for Chris.
Karen is very excited for the fact that.
Fingers crossed.
I don't know if there's going to be an animatronic Chris Pratt, but what we do know.
Fingers crossed.
And Karen might be putting that in her bag as we walk out of the park.
I may need some assistance carrying him out.
But I do know that I have read online that they're enclosing the entrance area. They're building a structure right now, kind of in that post splashdown. After the big drop area, and that they may be putting something related to the megalodon or that big fish thing.
Interesting.
Not the Meg. That's a different movie. But
company, right?
I think so.
It's all giant things.
Yeah, giant fish. So
you won't be able to see them splash down anymore?
You'll be able to see them splash down, but it's like in that the load area. Okay. So people are assuming that that's going to be some kind of a new show building.
Interesting.
Because they're building an enclosure over that. We have no idea. If you go on the Universal Studios website, there's no real indication of what the rest of the ride's going to look like. We assume that they're going to upgrade the animatronics in that open area. My eternal hope is that they do something to cover the giant parking structure that looms 12 stories over this beautiful ride. So, it is what it is. If you want to see our trip on our saying goodbye to the original Jurassic Park ride, again, go to our YouTube channel. There's a video up of us riding.
There's a video of us waiting in line for like three hours.
Most of that is waiting in line. And then we found the single rider line and like wrote it in 10 minutes, but that's a totally different point. So are we
that was
excited?
Only after they allowed us to get into the single rider.
Correct. So, Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, anybody besides Karen excited for Chris Pratt and this update? Going once.
It's
going
dinosaurs.
Twice.
It's Chris Pratt.
On the original one.
You've never been on the original one?
I never went in the original one.
Right, you gotta go with this.
So I'm excited to go on it. Although the reboots of this Jurassic World movies are just god awful.
Yeah, they're not as good.
They're so definitely. Bad. And really, only the first Jurassic Park movie was good. Number two was bad. Number three was so insulting. Everyone involved in it should have been barred from Hollywood forever.
Something about the sequels of the Jurassic Park movies, just like Jurassic Park 2 was terrible. Jurassic Park 3 was okay.
Jurassic Park 3 was written by a 12-year-old boy. And then the dinosaur yells at my dad. It's like some divorced kid. Here's my stepdad.
Animatronic. I would like to see Jeff Goldblum in there. There we personally. Go.
I will accept Jeff.
All right.
Yeah. So animatronic shirtless Jeff Goldblum.
According
I'm okay
to
with this.
Let's bring it back. According to LA Magazine, there are other additions rumored to be coming to the park in the near future. A Secret Life of Pets trackless family ride will most likely land in what's currently a dead zone near Minion Mayhem, formerly known as the Terminator 2 attraction. Some people think that it will be a fairly mellow attraction meant for families with small children. And near the Transformers ride on the lower lot, not coming in 2019, but coming at some point in the future, construction crews are at work on an area that could very well be the long-teased Nintendo Land, featuring rides based on Pokemon, Donkey Kong, and Mario Kart.
What?
So
yeah,
what kind of ride would a Mario Kart ride be? I wonder what that would be.
Some sort of boat,
I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably.
So flying something.
All right, so moving on, we're going to go to Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm is going to be opening up Calico River Rapids in 2019, and Calico River Rapids is a new attraction, new-ish attraction. It's going to be taking the place of what was Bigfoot Rapids with some new theming. And so from Knott's Berry Farm, it's a new expedition in an uncharted territory awaiting eager explorers with the upcoming debut of Calico River Rapids opening at Knott's Berry Farm in summer 2019. Knott's Whitewater Raft Ride, currently known as Bigfoot Rapids, will undergo a major renovation with the addition of new features to the attraction, including new animatronics, themed show scenes, a new story overlay, and my favorite phrasing, a plenty of dynamic water effects. So I'm hoping that it's the return of the waterfalls in some form. That they turned the waterfalls off about 15 years ago because people were dumb and couldn't stay seated and were getting injured.
People are dumb.
So this is exciting for me. I haven't ridden Bigfoot Rapids in probably 10 years. So, this is really exciting. I'm glad they're finally going to do something with it. It's mostly just a concrete trough with dead grass now, and I'm, you know, hoping that this
you're
is
really
gonna,
selling this.
It's because Bigfoot trampled it. That's why it's all dead.
There you go. And you can see like Western Avenue, you know, or whatever it is. Like,
yeah, it's right back in that corner.
In that corner with like the fencing and the Western Gate, and
where there's not a lot of magic in Knott's. Yeah. Let's just be honest.
All right, this is not. I promise this is not a bash Knott's episode.
Yes, for a reason.
Okay.
But it's great that they're doing something with that space now.
Yeah. So, Karis, you were going to tell us about something coming. You know, I'm really glad. I hope that it's going to increase the theming back there. It's going to maybe, you know, cover up so that you can't see the street. You know, there's supposed to be a huge re-theme of that area. And that another thing that I've heard is that that south parking lot's going away for an expansion of Ghost Town and another really big roller coaster. So we will see. I like that back corner for the quietness of it, but it needs a little work. All right. Karis, you were going to tell us about what's coming up with certain cruise lines.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, in addition to Disney and Universal and theme park vacations, I also sell cruise lines. And I have kind of stuck to about three major brands recently, but this year I am branching out. I'm adding more cruise lines so that I can be more diverse to offer different things for different needs. But something that was announced a little while ago, but my company just signed us up to sell this cruise line, I'm very excited about. Because it is a new cruise line that's debuting. We will be able to start our training next month. We're waiting for dates. And then we will be able to start booking very shortly after because the first ship is premiering in 2020.
Okay, the suspense is killing me.
It's killing you.
It?
What is it? Virgin Voyages. Yes.
That sounds awesome.
It is going to be amazing because, well, for a number of reasons, there are going to be a lot of firsts on this ship. The first ship is going to be called the Scarlet Lady. The logo's a mermaid.
Yes. Can we do a podcast on the Scarlet Lady?
That would be fabulous.
If we can get the when does it debut again?
2020.
We don't have the exact date of the first sailing. And actually, if you go to virginvoyages.com, they had something where you could be on a wait list and you could put a $500 deposit down, not knowing when the date was, when you were going to sail, but to try to be on the
main voyage. That sounds a lot like Richard Branson.
But here is the biggest catch. And I think the reason I am most excited about selling doing this and what's going to make this so different from all the other cruise lines I sell.
It's currently. A cruise in space.
It's not a cruise in space.
I'm sure
like, Sir Richard Branson would be all over that. He's already got that covered in another
area. I
would
put $500 down for that.
Yeah.
Do you hear me, Mr. Branson? $500 for a cruise in space.
But this, the at least the first ship, we're not sure about the other three ships that will follow in years to, just after 2020, but for the first ship, the Scarlet Lady, it is going to be 18 and over. There will be no children.
Do you know where
on
we're going?
Board.
Hello, sailing. Goodbye, pants.
Right?
Do we?
I'm there.
Do we? So we don't know the destination, though.
We do know that that first ship will probably focus in the Caribbean because it will be stationed in Port Miami.
Okay.
So they're building a huge their own building there, which looks quite impressive from everything I've seen of the pictures. The ship itself looks absolutely amazing. They've done a lot with different architects and things on board that I've just never seen any kind of layout like that. A lot of the staterooms look like they say the rock star feel. So it's like this, I don't know. I just picture British rock stars hanging out.
Yeah,
there.
I picture like the Hard Rock. Like,
yeah. But
I picture TVs you can throw through a window. That's what I picture.
It comes with a TV and a pistol.
That's I don't right. know why. I'm not it. Picturing oh, anything.
Elvis. That's good.
Well, I
clearly lack imagination.
Kind of wild colors mixed with muted colors. So like more of the black and white, red and yellow traditional cruise line, the old school ocean liner cruise line colors mixed with kind of a mod century vibe. And then some other firsts at sea for them. There will not be the formal dining rooms like there are on pretty much every cruise ship that there is, where you have either your assigned seating time or you can choose maybe the your time dining and stuff. But there will not be those formal dining rooms anymore. Instead, there will be at least 20 restaurants on board. And so you will have a lot more variety and things to choose from.
Are these going to be included like it would be a normal dining
yes.
room?
Yeah. Okay. So it'll still be, I'm sure.
Clearly when
be,
we do this podcast on this ship, you will not see me unless you are doing a podcast in one of these restaurants.
The good news is there's 25 restaurants. Bad news is half of them are Applebee's.
Oh, boo, no. Yeah. No,
the other half are Chili's.
No, it sounds really innovative, and I'm sure that maybe some of the restaurants might have a small cover charge. like there
some
are
some of the restaurants are going to be Applebee's
on other cruise lines, but I don't
all
know.
All of
they
them are Applebee's
for the 70 and older set.
But I do know that there will be the first tattoo parlor at sea on board the Scarlet Lady as well.
That's what you want to get in a ship that's rocking out in the ocean.
Yeah,
you could totally you could get the Vacation Land logo tattooed on you on the ship.
I'll send a free book to anybody that gets the Vacation Land podcast tattoo on.
We really mean the real tattoo, not like a fake one that washes off.
Right. Wow. No, this is
not
be,
a henna one.
This will be a real tattoo parlor. But like I said, there's just a lot of firsts. I'm excited for it, mostly because I have a lot of clients that come to me that say, what cruise line is going to have the least amount of kids?
Right.
You know, yeah. And I am like, well, there are ones that I can point you in that direction. I obviously can't guarantee there will be no children on
right.
board.
Because, and there are ones like Celebrity and Windstar, Viking, like
Holland.
But Disney doesn't have a lot of kids
those
on their
are,
cruises. Disney,
those, so. Are all ge- those are all geared, I feel like, towards like
the older, the 55. Set. Yeah, the yes. 55 and
yeah.
above.
Cunard, yeah. Which I'm starting to sell Cunard now. That is definitely your traditional ocean liner, you know, the original Queen Mary.
Do you want to know my favorite thing about Cunard? Like, this is going to get really like obscure and off topic because we have to move on to our final thing. But do you want to know my favorite thing about Cunard? So Cunard is – in some like weird, like roundabout way related to the Titanic.
Oh, yes.
Because Cunard was purchased the White Star Line mm-hmm. in like the 1950s or 60s. And so like that is the continuing like, you know, lineage of the White Star Line, which ran the
well,
the
it's
Olympic
even more
and,
than that. Yeah.
It was a competition.
It's when the Titanic, yeah. when the Titanic sank, it was a Cunard ship, the Carpathia, yeah. that went and rescued the passengers that were still at sea. And then after that, because of the sinking of the Titanic, White Star Line declined in popularity. And so therefore, after a little while, it declined. It was going bankrupt. Around that time, Cunard bought it. And so it became Cunard White Star for a while. And they merged the names. Now they've gone back to just Cunard.
For a while they were incorporating the logo. Anyway, that was just a really
weird,
nerdy
thing. So we got off
like,
on a totally
thing.
Weird tangent, and this is very important that I get in before Chris moves us. Seriously. But before Chris moves us on, I just want to point out we are all in agreement here that we would like to do a podcast
on
the ship.
Voyages.
So, Karis, could you please start magically planning
well,
for
well, and
us?
If,
we'll
if
start
we,
hooking that up.
If we can get the numbers up in terms of listenership, we can look at it.
Yeah, or just get Richard Branson to listen
I'm
to this.
Then
we go.
Group rates. Did you not hear this?
There
group rates. There's enough of us.
We can do a podcast cruise, but if we get the numbers up, we can
done.
Podcast cruise. All right.
I'd behave.
Good. All right. So our final thing is, and we kind of talked about it, so we won't talk about it as much, is the 100-pound gorilla in the room, coming in 2019 to Disneyland is going to be, Star Wars star. Is it 800-pound?
800-pound gorilla.
I am very excited.
100-pound gorilla. I could knock that thing around. What are you looking at, gorilla?
I am not excited for a gorilla. They kind of scare me. But I am very excited for Galaxy's Edge.
Star Wars Galaxy's Edge was first publicly announced by the Walt Disney Company chairman and CEO Bob Iger at the D23 Expo on August 15th, 2015, though it did not have an official name at the time. According to Iger, it will be occupied by many inhabitants, humanoids, aliens, and droids. The attractions, the entertainment, everything they create will be a part of the storytelling. Iger announced in March 2016 that construction on both versions of the land coming to Disneyland and Walt Disney World would begin in April of 2016. Construction began at both locations on April 14th, 2016. In February 2017, Iger stated that the lands are scheduled to open in the spring of 2019 at Disneyland and fall of 2019 at Hollywood Studios, which is what Karis was saying. We don't have exact dates because Disney stopped doing that because they couldn't meet deadlines. So they just give you these general... You know, my eternal hope was that it was going to be open for May the 4th.
I think that was everybody's eternal hope.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not according to the calendar.
According to people that I've talked to that know things, we're looking more at like the end of June.
Yes.
Like, so before the 4th of
there
July
you
holiday.
Go, you guys, if you're looking for Karis to book you a vacation, that's going to be the end of June.
Do it before the end of June.
Do it before the end of June. Yeah. Do it now because you won't be, she's like, I can't help you. In July 17th of the D23 Expo, Bob Chapek is the chairman of Disney Parks and Resorts, revealed that the themed lands would be called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. He also announced that Disneyland versions would open first and the land would contain two headliner attractions, Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, and Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. And some of the things coming out online now are indicating that not the ride itself, but the entire experience start to finish for Rise of the Resistance would actually be almost a half hour long.
Wow.
So it's a 28-minute experience from start to finish. Everything that I've seen about Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run is going to be amazing. It's going to be, if you've ever been on Mission Space in Disney World, it's going to be like that, but better. So all of the switches, all of the things, and you can lose, like you can fail at your mission on Smuggler's Run. So, they're going to try this thing where they have interaction in the parks and, you know, everything that you do. I don't know how well that's going to work with, you know, 1,000 people in the land at one time trying to cram in children.
Be very serious. Again, I am very, very excited about this, but I am also very realistic that I may not see this for at least a year because the park will be so insanely busy that I'm just going to be like, no, peace out.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
I'm trying to figure out how they are going to have the interaction work in Disneyland because I know, according to everything I've heard, with the magic bands that everyone wears in Florida, it'll be very easy to track people and to follow people because, you know, of the radio frequency in the magic band. And so, you know, what they've said is if you crash the Millennium Falcon, if it doesn't go so well, then later in the gift shop or in the cantina, somebody's going to be like, oh, so you're so-and-so who just crashed. You know, I heard you didn't do so well. And so there's this interaction that's going to happen, but I don't know how they're going to track people at Disneyland, being that we don't have magic.
You're
going to
get a radio transmitter implanted under your skin as
you're
walking over.
They're going to chip everyone.
They've already chipped you.
Stamps on your forehead. They're just going to... and hit you on the head real quick with one.
Some of the food offerings look great. Some of the food offerings look great. You know, they're going to have some, you know, a pod racing engine, with an open flame, you know, that's going to be supposedly like roasting meat, and they're going to have these different things that you can buy in the shops. And so, and I mean, it all looks very, very interesting. It's going to be a nightmare, I think, you know, not to dissuade anybody from going or booking with Karis, but like the first 6 months that this thing is open, it's going to be pure hell. And I think they're ready for that. I think they're trying to be as prepared as they can for that. Their new parking structure should be open God, hopefully by then. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to be a very, very busy time.
I'm planning on going in June of 2027. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's good. That's good. If you get in line now, you might get into Star Wars line by then.
Well, I was going to suggest that I think it would be helpful if you are listening from outside. Because if Karis books you a vacation and you're staying on the resort, you're going to get those magic hours, yes. Right?
Yeah, that
so you're
going
to be able to get in early or later, which means that maybe, no guarantees, but maybe you might be able to bypass a little bit of that craziness. Because in my mind, I'm pretty much seeing those ropes drop and then people just screaming, as they
One of my favorite things that they've done, and this has nothing to do with the land whatsoever, one of my favorite things that they've done is they've actually eliminated the dead end in Critter Country. Mm-hmm. So now where the park used to just dead end out there by the Country Bear Jamboree. No, that's been gone for 20 years now. By the exit of Splash Mountain. Now there will be a trail that you can follow around and get to the other side of the park.
That'll be nice. Some
of the rock work and stuff that they've done, there's going to be multiple ins and outs, and it looks incredible. Please don't get me wrong. It looks incredible. Be prepared. Go in there with the mindset that it's going to be very, very busy. You know, you are not the only one out there that wants to see this thing. So
go with the mindset that you will not enjoy it because it will be too crowded.
Right.
You'll have a great time.
Yeah. It'll be a pleasant surprise.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would say less the mindset of you won't enjoy it because it'll be too crowded and more the mindset of you may only be able to do one thing.
Right.
You know, the entire day, you may only be able to do one thing and you will have spent the rest of your day waiting in line.
The line will stretch to Garden Grove. David.
Oh, I have a Disneyland cast member shout out.
Go for it.
Compliment.
Right.
You can put it later.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Star Wars Land.
That's fine.
All right.
We're done.
We were there at the park. My one of my daughters left her little backpack on a bench. And we, of course, went back and it was gone. And I found out later she had over $100 in cash in there and a bunch of gift cards and a bunch of, you know, makeup and whatnot. And she was very, very upset. And I'm
you
like, no.
You give your kids a lot of money.
It was good grade money from grandpa. I'm like, you had $100 bill in your bag. She should have bought dinner. Why did I pay to take her to Disneyland?
Because $100 wouldn't have gone.
We went to Lost and Found and filled out a report. My daughter was very upset. I'm like, trust me, it's Disney. People will find it and turn it in. And so they called the next day and said, we have it. And every single thing was in there. And I was just so impressed with Disney.
So your daughter got $100 in cash back. I lost my ratty, beat up Hollywood Tower Hotel baseball cap. And I bought a new one because I needed to buy a new one. I lost the rattiest, dirtiest cap I've ever had. I lost it at the Wave of American Flavors at the Contemporary Resort at Walt Disney World. Filled out a lost item report. Never saw it again.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
somebody thought, which is, oh,
which
that's
is
like
fine.
Trash.
Which is
have
fine.
You seen
yeah.
That hat?
Yeah.
It was
it was not in great shape by any stretch of the imagination.
I think somebody did you a favor with that hat. They're like, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and put this in a landfill.
I literally went out and I was like, you know what? I need a new hat anyway. I bought a new one because it was in Florida. Yeah. And when I go in, I'm going to buy another one.
It was just, they had sent you a free one.
It was neat. I told my daughter, she was very upset. I'm like, look, I guarantee you, I work parade shifts. People see this stuff, they will grab it immediately. It went to a supervisor. It takes a while to get to Lost and Found. Disney will have it.
Well, I did work Lost and Found.
And it was
as
fantastic.
Part of guest relations. And I used to joke with people when they would say, well, can't you just go in the back real quick and look? And I would say, do you remember that scene in Indiana Jones where the warehouse where they stuck the Ark of the Covenant at the end in that huge government warehouse? Yeah, that's kind of like back in Lost and Found. So I said, there is a process. We have to look through everything and then we will get it to you. But yeah, they're extremely
thorough. Well, David, you know why they were so successful?
Why?
Because you know who they have working there?
Disney Magic.
No.
Mickey Mouse?
Top men.
All right. Yes.
I knew a skipper that did that at Indiana Jones. He said, no one ever got the joke. But he goes, when Indiana Jones would break down, he said, sorry, we're broken down right now, but we have top men working on it.
Top men.
He goes, every time I did it, they would just stare at me and not get it. I'm like, that's so funny.
That's great.
Come on,
right. I think that's a good place to end.
That's like, I don't get it.
We'll explain after. We'll tell you when you're older. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, guys. That's going to do it for our first show of the year. We hope you've enjoyed it. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram at VL Podcast. And if you want to participate in our book giveaway, go to that VL Podcast and we will give you instructions on how to win 2 copies of, David's new book, 1 Skipper Stories and 1 More Skipper Stories. Our Twitter at Vacationland Show, and we can always email us with any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes or you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, like, and rate us. Karis, where can we find you if we are looking for booking a vacation?
So the easiest way is honestly to call me. You know, I know a lot of people hate the phone call now, but it is so easy for me to find out in about 15 minutes what you need from me as a vacation planner versus emails back and forth for days. So call me at 714-348-7199, or you can email me at c.milano, M-I-L-A-N-O, at magicalvacationplanner.com, or you can find me on Facebook. My my Facebook group is MVP by Karis, C-A-R-I-S-S. Those are the easiest ways.
All right, so I'd like to thank all of our guests for joining us today. Thank you, David. Thank you, Karen, for coming in at the last moment. And thank you, Karis, for joining us today and sharing your thoughts with us. We hope you have enjoyed the show. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. And we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in vacation. We'll see you in 2 weeks.